This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Great having Mike Palm on in the last hour. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast, and you can take a listen on your time. Taylor McGregor is going to join the program later on this hour. Talk all things Chicago Cubs baseball. Could they potentially be in the move for Tarek Skubal? And what about PCA for MVP? So many questions. We'll get answers from Taylor. But let's talk more baseball here and more about Tarek Skubal and maybe a surprise destination. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. It's kind of fun, Jensen, as you get a little bit older, worlds collide. You and I get to do this great show every day. You work with Jim Bowden. I covered Jim Bowden when he was the GM back in his days in Washington, D.C. Very interesting man, and certainly always has a lot of different things on his mind. And maybe looking at different areas in this Tarek Skubal sweepstakes than most people are. We know that the Dodgers are the favorites to get the prized left-hander from Detroit, but Jim has an interesting theory and maybe a surprise team that we're not talking enough about.
If he's traded, which I don't know, Scott Harris doesn't know. I don't know if he's going to be traded, but if he is, I will tell you this right now. I think the Brewers are the most likely landing spot. I'll rank them one, Dodgers two, Braves three, Tampa four in that order. The Brewers farm system is as good as any team out there that's trying to get him. They also have so much depth. When you talk about the best prospect in baseball, it's Jesus Madé, he's not going anywhere. But they got Luis Peña, too, who's 19 years old. He's got a chance to be a superstar, and he'd be the number one prospect in most organizations. You can afford to deal him if you want to because you have Madé, you have Cooper Pratt, you have enough. You can give them a starter to go back in Brandon Sproat, who you picked up for Peralta, who was a rental. So no problem putting him back in. And then you can sweeten the pot with maybe Tyson Harden, the pitcher, maybe Andrew Fisher, the third baseman. You have enough there. And remember this, Mark Antanasio, the owner in 2008, made the deal for CC Sabathia, gave them a shot to win a World Series. They didn't do it, but gave them a shot. Mark Antanasio has told Matt Arnold, green light, go do it. I'm ready. Here we go.
Oh, absolutely love it. Hated the Brandon Sproat part because they stole the Mets in that deal for Freddie Peralta. But the point is, Jensen, right, they've made some good moves that gives them some maneuverability here to get into this Tarek Skubal sweepstakes with what they've accrued now in the minor league system. And I love the CC Sabathia comparison because it does kind of feel like once every decade and a half, the Brewers do something that maybe other people don't see coming, but I think it's clearly on Bowden's radar.
I had told you that I hoped that it would be either the Rays or the Brewers that end up making this become a reality. And the Rays also have an excellent farm system from which to deal from. And to that end, I think you're going to see, you know, the potential of, think of Skubal, McClanahan, Rasmussen for the Rays. Think about, you know, Skubal, Mizorowski, it's probably Mizorowski, Skubal, and then Kyle Harrison, you know, getting back into this rotation. Logan Henderson, especially the last couple of weeks, has been outstanding. And Logan Henderson got the opportunity because of the injury to Brandon Woodruff. The Brewers do everything well. The only thing the Brewers don't do well, they're dead last in homers. They do everything else exceptionally well. You add Skubal there, not that they would be the favorite, but that's as close to a coin flip I think you could get if it's the Dodgers and it's the Brewers because of the question marks that surround the Dodger lineup right now, Dave. The injury and the knee inflammation for Ohtani, keeping him indefinitely off the mound. Still the injury with Will Smith. We don't know timelines firmly of Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow. You have issues in the lineup with those guys in Freeman and Betts getting older. Back end of that lineup has some question marks as well. I don't want to say they're extremely vulnerable because Andrew Friedman and Brandon Gomes will be doing something at this deadline to bolster that offense, if not the offense and the pitching staff. But man, oh man, if you're the Brewers and you make this happen, that is an absolute shot across the bow to say that not only are we for real, but we feel that we are the team to beat.
I thought you had a very interesting comment to Mike Palm in the last hour, and that was you really can't take the Cubs seriously in the postseason unless they go make a move for a frontline starter like a Skubal. Now, maybe there could be a secondary move like a Casey Mize. Who knows, right? That could change that opinion. But to that end, with the Cubs being six games behind the Brewers, and if Jim Bowden is correct, and he ranks the Brewers as the top team, not the Dodgers, to get Skubal in the betting market to win the World Series. And we just talked about this with Mike. It's crazy. The Dodgers are priced at a plus $1.90 to do a three-peat. The Brewers are 9-1, and the Cubs are 15-1. Would you be willing to take a shot at one of those other two National League teams with the hope that even if it's not Skubal, it's still somebody else that could be a 1A or at least a 1B in the Skubal sweepstakes to make that number palatable? Could you get on board with a 9-1 Brewers or a Cubs 15-1 to win the World Series?
If you're going double digits, I'd go the Braves. The Braves at 11-1 would be the team, just because they don't have much farther to go. They just got AJ Smith-Shawver back. They're hoping for Spencer Schwellenbach later here in potentially August, if not September. That's a team, too, that you have to keep your eye on for Skubal. Skubal, Chris Sale, now we're in business, okay? And that offense, way better now with Ronald Acuna Jr. back, decidedly different. Don't forget about the Braves, man. 11-1, and I joked with you yesterday, on our typical cross-board parlay opportunities here, looking at like a Cameron Young for a top 20 this week at the Rocket Classic, and then the Braves to win the World Series, that gets them up to 17-1. There's ways to be creative about it. Heck, if you want to even take a Wyndham Clark with the Braves, that gets you to 19-1. So there are ways to make this thing even higher odds wise. But if you're giving me double digits right now, I would take the Braves.
Very interesting. By the way, yeah, we saw Chris Sale yesterday. Met fans did. We saw enough of him. He looked really good. I want to stay with some of the slates and the new series starting today. Look, what the Marlins did in the last 3 days is remarkable. This was a team on a 12-game losing skid. They had fallen a couple games under 500, and all of a sudden they had gone from about plus 250 to make the postseason to about 10-1. And then they get one of the more improbable sweeps of the Phillies, two ridiculous comebacks, including yesterday down 6-0 to come back and win this thing. And they get that sweep, and now they're back over 500. They're going to play my lowly Mets here in New York. And I said this at the end of last year. They ruined the Mets season at the end of the year last year. You don't have to ruin it this year. It's already ruined. Where are you in the fighting fish? There's maybe a little bit more fighting these guys. And the Phillies, all of a sudden, 3-9 since the All-Star break, Jensen. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming or had that in their bingo card.
Totally agree. And just kind of looking at some of the ones that stand out, and you talked about it, the Phillies are definitely going to have to be making some moves here at the deadline. Fortunately, it sounds like the Zach Wheeler issue, remember that start he left early? That was more with a stomach bug, and we were all kind of holding our breath there because the velo was down, and you're fearing the worst, of course, about the arm issue. So it sounds like that was just a health-related as far as maybe some bad chow down there in South Beach. It has happened before. I think the Marlins continue to defy everyone's expectations. Remember, Dave, this has been a cash cow at home. The Marlins have been one of the best home teams in all of the National League this year. They're 34-23. Only the Brewers in the National League have more home wins than the Miami Marlins do at 36-20. Now, Miami on the road, as you said, against your Mets, Nolan McClain, Yuri Perez, might be a sneaky spot to back the Mets here, but I won't touch this game until I see some lineups later on today. What I will do, I'm going straight for the top game of the day, at least the first one on the docket. Series finale down at Tropicana Field, Shane McClanahan against the Texas Rangers. Cole Wynn going to get the start. Dave, this is a three-unit play. -1 on the alternate run line at plus $1.09 back in the Rays at home. We'll absolutely take this team. Speaking of home dominance, how about 25-13? The Rays are covering the run line as a home favorite. And Shane McClanahan in 9 starts at the Trop this year, 7-1, a .188 ERA. It just lines up really almost too good to be true. I will hammer the Rays to get this one done after shutting out the Rangers yesterday.
Love it. I'll be back in that play with you as well. Let's follow your lead on that Rays pick today. Hey, I wanted to ask you about this. I mentioned it earlier in the program. We heard comments from Bryce Harper after that loss and when they get swept away by the Fighting Fish. And he basically said, if those that haven't heard the comments, I'll paraphrase, we need help. We got to make moves at the trade deadline. You got to go get us some help. Now, Donnie Baseball, who's done a great job, you know, flipping this script here in Philadelphia. Well, it's his son that's part of as the assistant GM in that front office. And then Don Mattingly basically came back and paraphrasing there, said, when you say stuff like that, you're basically denigrating one of your teammates, saying you got to go replace somebody. Jensen, how does something like this play out when you have a star player in Bryce Harper actively questioning what the front office is doing or what they're not doing?
So for the hierarchy, for people that don't know, Preston Mattingly, son of Don Mattingly, is the general manager there in Philadelphia. It is Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball operations. But you're coming, you attack the Cubs. Usually it's Mama Bear that's going to get you first, but now you're going to PO Papa Bear. That one should have stayed in house. You should have addressed that. I'm sure that on the off day here, they will take care of what they need to. Philly's got to go get some help, though, offensively. The big three have carried them in Schwarber, Harper, and Marsh. Trey Turner, much better here to start the second half. Dave Dombrowski is going to make moves. He's an all-in kind of guy. Won't be shocked if that happens again here over the weekend.
Yeah, we're not saying that Bryce is wrong. We're just saying that's not something you say with a microphone in front of your face there in the clubhouse. That's something you keep internally, and you talk to Don Mattingly about one-on-one. All right, let's come back. Let's talk about some more football. And how about what's going to happen in D.C.? Is it a bounce-back year for Jaden Daniels and company? They're under the spotlight next, right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Thursday morning. Going to have Taylor McGregor join the program here in just a little bit, talk all things Chicago Cubs baseball, MVP, PCA, maybe the Tarek Skubal sweepstakes as well. Going to get to our best bets, too. We got a great email today, Jensen. Can't wait to pick your brain specifically on this. Outside of Shohei and PCA, should we be looking at somebody else for MVP? That's coming up. But right now, let's go to Washington, D.C., continuing a breakdown of every single team here before we get to the regular season in the NFL. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
Hut, hut. This is the Daily Gridiron.
Win total seems low in comparison to what we saw 2 years ago for a team that got all the way to the NFC title game in Detroit. Then last year, Jaden Daniels gets hurt. Defense was a disaster. Win total sitting at 7.5 for your Commanders in Washington, D.C. to make the postseason, plus 215. Win the East, really? Plus 470. How about winning the NFC 25-1? Double it up for the Super Bowl at 50-1. You know where I stand with Dan Quinn. We'll talk about that in a second. But Jensen, at first blush, is Jaden Daniels' health, if he stays healthy, is that good enough to cure all that ailed them a year ago?
Well, we get a change with the OC, and we'll see if that changes Jaden Daniels, right? Gone is Cliff Kingsbury, in is David Blau, formerly the quarterback's coach there. So we'll see what he can do. Also a change for the DC. Fired Joe Witt Jr., hired Durante Jones, formerly Minnesota's defensive pass game coordinator and their DB's coach. So some changes there, and this will feed into your Dan Quinn theology of why time is probably not on his side. But yes, the trigger man, the injuries notwithstanding, it was a very, very tough year. Will there be more structure offensively? Probably. with David Blau. The defensive upgrades for the pass rush, I'm actually intrigued about. You get one of my favorites in Sonny Styles, a linebacker from the Ohio State.
Oh, man.
Joshua Joseph's the edge rusher, was probably a savvy fifth round ad for them. But you look at the free agency additions. Adafi Owe was the marquee signing, 4 years, $100 million, with $68 million guaranteed. They do get Leo Chenal, the linebacker there, on a three-year deal. And then Kevon Gason, or Chyson, I always say his name wrong. My apologies. But more to the story here, they really fortified the pass rush. They needed to.
Yeah.
And Amik Robertson also, forgot about him, as well as Nick Cross, the safety. They did a lot in free agency. And I think that was the primary focus, was let's try and give our offense as many opportunities as possible by getting the ball back in their hands.
I look at this too, and I'm looking at Josh Harris in the new ownership group, new comparatively speaking to the Dan Snyder era, taking this over. And normally, Jensen, when you become one of those new groups, Magic Johnson, by the way, is in that ownership group too. It takes some time before you really want to go make changes. Sometimes it's like Jerry Jones going way back in the day. Boy, he ripped the Band-Aid right off when he bought that team, fired Tom Landry, Hall of Fame coach, the next day. And it sent shockwaves. It really shocked kind of that system. I feel like Josh Harris now, if Dan Quinn, I talk about the kind of his expectancy as a head coach, if you will, at certain places, it's about 3 years, and then it feels like the defenses start to get figured out. It did seem to happen last year. I thought 2 years ago when they got to the title game, it was a lot of smoke and mirrors with that defense, and they got away with a lot of stuff until that championship game, if you remember, certainly against the Eagles, where they couldn't get that done. Now, I'm looking at this year, and you mentioned Sonny Styles. I told you that if I had the number one pick and I didn't need a quarterback, and I get why you pick players at certain places, and just position notwithstanding, Sonny Styles would have been my pick that I would have taken. Again, not knowing what team I own or anything like that. That would have been the guy that I look at and go, I want that guy on my football team. Can he be that transformative player like a Micah Parsons was when Dan Quinn was in Dallas, and have that immediate impact on this defense? If it does, then Dan Quinn might be around for another year or two there in D.C. If he's not, Jensen, I worry that even with a healthy Jaden Daniels, are they going to be in shootouts every week in D.C.? So I'm with you. I think the defense does look better on paper. I always say this as a head coach, what do you do? What side of the ball? It's hard to be a head coach CEO these days. It's hard to be a guy that's an overseer and has other guys that he's delegating to. The owner, especially Josh Harris, is going to say, what are you doing, Dan Quinn? I need you to be in charge of one side of this equation, and that's got to be defense for you. So if that defense doesn't look better, I worry that the hype we're going to have for this team, because Jaden Daniels is back, and because you got a stud in Sonny Styles, that's not going to be enough in an improving division. And I'm not talking about the Eagles. I'm talking about the Cowboys, and I'm talking about the Giants. So I think I wouldn't play the Eagles at 10.5, by the way, either. But even if they come back a little bit to the pack, Jensen, is that good enough for the Commanders to be a play-on team to guarantee 8-plus wins for an over-win total of 7.5? Not for me. I still have questions about Dan Quinn because I've seen it up close and personal in Dallas. When they start to figure you out, it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle and kind of rediscover the Legion of Boom days that you had in Seattle. In Atlanta, where the defense was so good, and then once it got figured out in the Super Bowl and beyond, he wasn't there much longer. That's what I worry about for Dan Quinn this year in D.C. And if the defense doesn't look better, I don't know that Jaden Daniels, coming off major, major leg issues and surgeries, is going to be healthy enough and good enough to overcome all those ailments that the defense has.
It can't get any worse. They were dead last in total yards per game defensively, 384 on average. They were 30th in yards per play at 6, 30th in rush yards per game at 141.5. Thus why you see them retooling with all the edge rushers, the defensive tackles, the linebacking room. That's why they did what they did. I mean, they don't have to be elite, but they certainly have to be league average if they're going to compete. Not only that, Dave, but boy, we're going to know a lot about where their season is after the first 3 weeks of the year. How about on the road in Philly, Then to your Dallas Cowboys, who I'd mentioned when we talked Cowboys, Dallas 8-1 ATS head to head against Washington in the Jerry Dome the last nine games. And then their home opener is against the world champion Seattle Seahawks, where road teams are 6-2-1 ATS the last nine occurrences when the Seahawks and the Commanders go head to head. So you got to get at least a win somewhere, Dave. I don't know where it comes in the first three there for Washington.
There's some very interesting markets, too, because I'll be honest, like, I don't have any tickets on this team for or against. I haven't faded them. My inclination would be to fade them like I did last year, and that was very profitable. 2 years ago, boy, they were so much better than people thought, myself included. When I look at DraftKings right now, they've got an interesting market, and this market is more wins than, and there's every team listed in the NFL. Let's stay in the division for a second, because the Giants are another one of those teams that, are you looking at John Harbaugh and going, boy, that sounded hokey. I don't know how good this team is. They've got the same win total of 7.5. You've got to lay $1.05 for the Commanders to have more wins than the New York Football Giants this year. You mentioned the Cowboys, and the Cowboys really have owned the Commanders here in recent years. Plus $1.80. And I'm not saying that that guarantees you a second-place finish in the NFC East. But if you do think they're going to be better than the Cowboys and you play that at plus $1.80, Jensen, could they challenge the Eagles? Are they a surprise team in this division if you like that price point? I don't. I would not play that. I'm not advocating to play it. But if you do like them to be better than the Cowboys at plus $1.80, why wouldn't you take a shot that they could be at least equal with the Eagles if we feel like Fly Eagles Fly is taking a slight step back?
Our VSiN NFL betting guy, Dave, advocates for the over 7.5 for Washington. I'll read kind of a couple of the thoughts. Even with a disappointing group of pass catchers, Jaden Daniels is good enough to turn the Commanders into a top 10 offense again. And there are real reasons to believe Washington will be better on defense. Of course, Washington's schedule isn't as easy as you'd expect for a team that won five games the previous year, but the Commanders have the talent to get back on track. Dave, it's the seventh toughest schedule in the league. And, you know, the first half of it, not really a lot of daylight for you. Okay. You got to go overseas to take on the Colts. Again, another scheduling spot from a million standpoint, we may be hitting when they have to come back stateside in another huge divisional matchup with the Giants. That might be an auto play on Jackson Dart, John Harbaugh and company there. And then you got to get out to the West Coast. I mean, this is back and forth. This is a tough row to hoe for Washington this year. It will not be a team I'm playing on, at least in a win total market before the season starts.
Yeah, I don't know that I like that, especially when I look at who's running the football. We going down with Kroski Merritt again. And I mean, you know, Terry McLaurin has been a little bit underwhelming here. Luke McCaffrey at wide receiver in the slot. I don't know. To me, it's just, I don't see it. It's got to be Jaden Daniels or bust. I mean, you're going to be putting a lot on a third-year quarterback coming off a leg injury. That feels like a lot for me in the betting markets. I won't be there. Very interesting inquiry about NL MVP. I want to get your thoughts next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Like the old Kenny Loggins song, this is it. Tomorrow is your last day to lock in early bird pricing on our football special, $175 through the Super Bowl, before it goes to $199 on Saturday. So with preseason football right around the corner, going to get instant access to our NFL betting guide, futures, win totals, divisional races, and player props. On Monday, going to release our college football betting guide. That's going to have previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, best bets from all of our experts. You're going to get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings, plus full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. The price does go up on Saturday, so head over to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock that price in today for the entire season. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen, we have a rabbit out there at Detroit at the Rocket Mortgage. Peter Malnati is 6 under through 8 holes here on the front side, Look like the backside might play a little bit easier, but so far, pretty good for the guy in the bucket hat. I used to wear a bucket hat back in the day, but I couldn't play as good a golf as Peter Malnati is these days. We'll keep a watchful eye there. By the way, Taylor McGregor is going to join the program in the next segment. Talk all things Cubs. Talk all things whether or not they're really in the Tarek Skubal sweepstakes. And what about PCA for MVP? We'll talk about that with Taylor. But I wanted to bring this up to you. And again, everybody, we appreciate all the emails that we've been getting here. Try to read some of those selections here on the program. Buythebooks@vsin.com. And we got this inquiry from Matt, a.k.a. Big Pun. Appreciate this, Big Pun. Hey, Jensen and Dave, how about James Wood not getting more recognition for NL MVP? I was able to get him at 51-1 just a few weeks ago. Great number, Big Pun. He's still playing at 28-1 on Bet365. Go take a look at the stats compared to PCA. He's currently at plus $1.10. And Wood leads him in home runs, in runs by 27, home runs by 7, RBI by 11. Make it make sense. Cheers, guys. Love the show and watch every morning on Sportsnet. We really appreciate that. Matt, what about that, James Wood? Should he be getting more real bang for your buck if you see that? He's got a great ticket at 51-1. Would it still be playable for you where he is now here as the third betting choice in the NL MVP?
I would take some conservative shares of him because, again, we are in the narrative business award category. And if you want to go just again, and I don't want to say wins above replacement is Bible when it comes to these voters, especially in the new age, but Pete Crow Armstrong, 7.0 offensive or batting wins above replacement. James Wood is at 4.4. I mean, that's over 2.5 more wins above replacement. And a lot of new age voters, Dave, will go to that and say, it's the complete body of work. It is defensively what Pete Crow Armstrong does in center field. That is not only one of the best in baseball, but it's generational right now, what he's been doing. So that is tough to overcome, but I agree that Matt, he should be getting much more love. Now, when you look at the individual statistics here, you know, James Wood, considering where he could end up, Dave, we are in a position where James Wood could have 100 runs scored before the calendar turns to August 1st. And that is insanity considering what we've seen out of this Washington National offense year in and year out. 30 homers. If he gets to 40, he's going to, and he is going to have a great opportunity to do that. If he could get, obviously he's going to get to 100 plus runs, 40 or more homers, 100 or more ribbies. He's actually on pace to almost, he's going to get more than 100 walks too. This could be quite compelling. So I think, Matt, to answer your question, getting him at 51-1 is incredible value. The Nationals need to keep winning. They need to be relevant in the wild card race. And if that happens into September, we may have a race, all predicated on Shohei Ohtani continuing to not pitch the rest of the year. So New Brunswick, Canada, we appreciate Matt and really another great email to have us chew over because it's a great question. It's a great bettable angle and it's great value that Matt has right now. So again, buy the books at vsin.com if you want to send it in for us. Outstanding stuff. Yet again, very relevant, Dave, in the discussion, especially with what will happen in the trade deadline if CJ Abrams, his cohort there, who is also deserving of some MVP votes, if he is still a National by Monday afternoon.
And we appreciate inserting your name, obviously, city and state where you're from. And if you want to do a nickname like Big Pun, like Matt did, we appreciate those as well. Pretty darn good. Hey, by the way, when you look back now, because that was James Wood, that was CJ Abrams coming over from San Diego back in the day to D.C. In the Juan Soto deal, for those that remember that, and I know they remember it in D.C. And at the time, you knew they were prospects, and we've seen what those prospects have become. In that context, when we're looking at Skubal at the trade deadline, we'll talk about more of this, certainly with Taylor McGregor. Sometimes what looks like a winning trade at the time, when you're getting a player like Juan Soto, and we're even seeing this in the small end with Freddie Peralta and the Mets, it did not work out. Are teams less equipped to give up some of these blue chippers like they were in San Diego to go get a prized possession like a Tarek Skubal here in 2026?
So I think the difference is, Dave, because we don't have the clear guardrails of what the CBA will look like next year and beyond, you will probably see teams err more on if they're making deals. They want guys that are controllable. And what I mean by that is it's before, you know, arbitration, big arbitration raises. If they're on a multi-year deal, it's a more affordable multi-year deal where it doesn't really impact what a potential salary cap could do for those teams. So I think you're going to see that that will be something. And expiring contracts, guys that are on expiring contracts will be very popular because it does nothing to impact your books next year. One other email we just got, Dave, and again, buy the books at VSiN.com. This is from Kelly, aka Trick Daddy. He said, "Hey, Dave, first time, long time. Any live golf bets at the Rocket Classic you currently like? Thanks in advance." And again, we've seen some really good questions from Kelly. We just now found out what his nickname is, which is great. So thank you, Kelly, aka Trick Daddy. Live bets you like at the Rocket Classic here, Dave, from that first time listener first time caller, long time listener.
Again, we don't know if this is Kelly or Kelly EY, and maybe he's hosting a show next coming up in a numbers game right after we're done. But if this is the Trick Daddy, here's what I'd say. I'm looking at it right now in the live betting market. Wyndham Clark has already been shorted. Guy I've got at 25-1. He's down to about 15-50 in the live market. Ricky Fowler, not normally a personal choice, and I'm not going to bet Ricky, but right now Slick Rick has moved way up this board as well. He's a former winner here at Detroit. So even with the course changes, Jensen, he's the betting favorite right now to win this. Rick Fowler in 2026, as I call him, at 10-1 is now the betting favorite. So Trick Daddy, I'm not going to go there. If you want to look to the kid, Jackson Kuiven, got off to a slow start here at one over par. He's flipped his round around here with a couple birdies. You can still get him a little bit longer than what you could have got him before the tournament began. So you could have got him about 21-22-1. I'm seeing now about 28-1. Not mad at that if you want to get in there for a relatively slow start for the kid, only at one under par. I don't think he's going anywhere this weekend. And some of those usual suspects you're starting to see move up that leaderboard. Chris Goddard had an early bogey. He's now back to two under par. So, look, it's a better, as I'm sure Trick Daddy and the rest of the great folks over there at Long Shots each and every week have pointed out, it's a pretty good field that we're getting in Detroit this week. So maybe that cream's starting to rise to the top again earlier rather than later there. I'd look to the kid here, Jackson Kuiven, maybe live top 20 if you want to lay a little bit there or get around even money. I think he's going to be around again. If he's as special as we all believe him to be, Trick Daddy, I think that Jackson Kuiven's going to have something to say before this weekend is over in Detroit. Jensen, baseball, you've got some plays already for VSiN Pro subscribers. I know you're waiting on some lineups to come out for other games later on today.
Let's fire. It's a big boy, a three-unit play on the Rays. First game of the day. We're going to lay the alternate run line -1 for the Rays, +$1.09. They are 28-10 straight up as a home favorite, which they are today. But even better, they are 25-13 covering the run line as a home favorite, which they are today. Shane McClanahan gets the ball in 9 home starts at Tropicana Field this year. 7-1, a 1.88 ERA. Absolutely love it, and I hope that they go out and do what they did in throwing up a goose egg against the Rangers offense in a win yesterday. One other play, 2.5 unit play, Dave. We're going to take the alternate run line here. Cardinals +1 against the Cubs, -$1.52. So a little too bite at the apple here if they get a chance to win this one. Listen, they've struggled as a home favorite covering the run line. They're 3-9 there, but they do average almost 5.5 runs of support when Andre Pallante takes the mound, which he will today. Cubs, tough one. Got to get up off the mat after a walk-off loss there last night. They had the lead, unable to hold that. PCA, even the home run in extra time. I know I did the World Cup reference there. In extra innings, not enough to get that across. Cardinals walk it off. They win it 3-2. I think they carry that momentum into this afternoon.
Appreciate the tweets as well from Ryan Fedor, R-Y-F-E-D-O-R. He's following your lead. Taking the Rays this way is what he said. He got a little boost. +$1.19 for the Rays not to bat in the ninth inning. Another way to play what you're getting at today, Jensen Lewis. So listening and picking up what you're putting down. Taylor McGregor, she does a great job covering the Cubs. We'll talk with her next right here. VSiN by the books.
You're tuned in to VSiN. VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the books on this Thursday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. A real pleasure to have in the program. Taylor McGregor does a great job covering the Cubs. Field reporter for Marquee Sports Network. Give her a follow on X at Taylor_McGregor. Joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line in St. Louis for the Cubs and Cardinals. And I know those two fan bases don't exactly always get along. Taylor, good morning to you. It's kind of been a wild season covering this team. It looks like the highs at the beginning, and then you hit those swoons, and then all of a sudden they are just surging again. What's this roller coaster been like all year long covering this team?
Certainly a roller coaster. You said it. And look, there are always ups and downs of a season, but Craig Counsell has even said he's not sure he's ever experienced something quite like this, where it's been the absolute extremes, right? Where you were the best team in baseball for the first 6 weeks of the season. And then you have some, 4 or 5 weeks where you literally have the worst record in baseball. And then now, since, you know, early June, I think they trail only the Red Sox as far as wins. So it's been both sides of the spectrum. It's certainly been kind of wild, but the Cubs are sitting pretty well right now, at least in the playoff race, still 6 games behind the Brewers. But it's been a wild ride for sure.
Yeah, 4.5 games up on Arizona and Philadelphia in the wild card race right now would be that 4 seed entering the playoffs. Series finale today. No tough extra inning walk-off loss last night. We'll get to PCA here in a moment, but size up the matchup in your eyes today. Javier Assad has been absolutely rolling here the last handful of times out. Andre Pallante on the other side. Strengths for you for where the Cubs could potentially get this win in the series finale.
Yeah, the offense has been so good, so you need them to continue to roll. I think the bigger story here is Javier Assad, how deep he can go, because this is a guy who has started games, then he was coming out of the bullpen, and then with the recent news of designating Jameson Taillon for assignment, Assad's sliding back into his spot, essentially. This was supposed to be Shota Imanaga today, but they decided to push Shota, give him an extra day, and face the lefty off against the Yankees. So this is a big start for Javi, because he's going to hold down that role, at least until the trade deadline, if the Cubs were to potentially add another starter. So I think this is a big start for him, and he's an important piece to kind of set the tone for the team.
Okay, you mentioned there maybe potentially adding another starter, and I saw kind of a sly smile come over across your face there, Taylor. I know everybody's going to be talking about it. It's going to be Tarek Skubal. Are they really in the sweepstakes here to get the prize lefty out of Detroit? What are you hearing from the front office? Do you think they're going to make a sizable move, even if it's not Tarek Skubal?
So here's the thing that I've learned over the years is they always want to make a sizable move, but at the end of the day, it comes down to what that other team with the move values. And if it is valuable enough for the Cubs to make it. So look, I think there's a lot of teams probably right now that have an idea of exactly what they want to add, and they want to add something that could really make a difference for their club. Now, whether or not that happens, that's on the negotiating table. So there've been years with the Cubs where, I know they've wanted to do bigger things and the market just didn't unfold. And then there were times when they wanted to move pieces and the market didn't unfold, So we'll kind of see how it all plays out. Obviously, the idea of adding a frontline starter is at the top of every Cubs fan's wish list. But again, you have to weigh the cost, and Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins have to decide what that cost is. And so we'll see. But it is going to be an interesting thing to follow for sure.
Yeah, if I know anything about my former Vanderbilt teammate, Carter Hawkins, he is shrewd when it comes to making these kind of deals, and he will exact maximum value along with Jed Hoyer.
Yes.
Extracting max value has not been a problem for Pete Crow Armstrong. What a sensational season. He has surged in the odds market now, Taylor, to pretty much on par with Shohei Ohtani to be the National League MVP. You're the perfect person to ask, what differentiates PCA, not only offensively, but a generational defensive player in center field? What really makes him a cut above as that National League MVP candidate?
Yeah, so I think if you just look at him and Ohtani, for me, it's going to depend a lot on how long Ohtani isn't pitching. So that we'll start there. But look, PCA is the best defender in baseball. And honestly, it's not close. He just broke a Statcast record for the most 5-star catches. And Cubs fans, we almost take him for granted because he makes the routine look so, or the hard play, sorry, excuse me. He makes the hard play look so routine. And so he's an elite defender. He leads the National League and wins above replacement. I think the biggest story for him offensively this year has been the step forward that he's taken. Look, this is a guy that a year ago had a walk rate below 5%, and now he's sitting here close to 12%. So, and with that, the slug has not fallen off, because oftentimes you trade one for the other. So he's been a guy who now can slug and hit home runs, which is his best tool, but also he's has an ability to get on base. And he's kind of evolved really as a hitter in a short period of time. So he's been, man, electric. There was a big moment last night. Unfortunately, the Cubs ended up losing, but top of the 10th, he sent one to the seats, and it was almost like an MVP moment for him. Again, the game didn't play out in the Cubs' favor, but it was really fun.
Taylor, I get a text from my Chicago brethren. Got them last night when that happened. Just says PCA. There's no context to the text anymore. It just says PCA. So once you're just getting the initials, you know you're a made man there, certainly in Chicago. You mentioned the swings that this team has had. Where are they now? Because it feels like they're in a really good spot. And again, we'll find out what they do at the trade deadline. But are they confident as currently constructed that they're good enough to make a deep playoff run?
I think the offense, yes. I think there's certainly pieces with the pitching that they need to add. They don't have a ton of velo. They don't strike a lot of people out, and those are important things come October. So, that needs to be taken care of. I think, you could make a case there's a room for a right-handed bat. But I think recently the team's performed really well. I mean, since the All-Star break, they lead Major League Baseball in essentially every offensive category. So, I think offensively you're pretty confident. I think the main focus would be pitching. And I think there's, again, depending upon who's on the market, I think a right-handed bat could work well with the Cubs.
Yes, 28th in strikeouts per nine, that rotation right now. So, again, trying to generate some free air conditioning has been tough to come by. Let me ask you broader NL Central. You see it every day, Taylor. This has been just a revelation that the Brewers win the most games in the regular season last year. They do it again, or at least are on pace to try and do it again this year. The Pirates have been outstanding. The Cardinals probably way ahead of what a lot of people thought they would be this year. Just your thoughts on where the National League Central sits as we begin play today. And could you envision three teams out of the Central making it to October?
I certainly could. And listen, we just were in Pittsburgh, and that's an interesting group. You know, they have one of the best offenses in Major League Baseball, which is absolutely insane considering a year ago they were on the inverse of that and one of the worst offensive teams in the sport. And you couple that with their starting rotation and the really good pieces they have out of the bullpen, they could be a scary team come October. And I think anybody would look at that matchup and, kind of be hesitant if your team has to face them. So I could certainly see a case. I mean, we'll see how it plays out for the Cardinals here, but for me, I have my eyes on the Pirates as that third team, and I think they could do some serious damage in October, and especially, a short series. And then obviously as you get further on, they could be a team that could be tough to face.
All right, somebody holding a 35-1 ticket on them to win the pennant here, Taylor. I hope you're right with the Buccos. I hope they can battle their way into the postseason. Very quickly, when I was there, obviously it was Joe Maddon. You win a World Series, you're breaking the curse, and it's David Ross, my namesake, taking over. And then Craig Counsell, it feels like it's kind of been up and down in his Chicago tenure. Where are they now on Counsell in Chicago? Has he won over the fans there on the north side?
Listen, it's always directly tied to winning. And I think it's been a build since Council got here. You know, they didn't make the playoffs in 24, and then in 25 they did. And they have a good team this year. They're one of the top five best teams in baseball. So I think, listen, you can't ride the roller coasters with the fans. I don't really pay attention. I'm not sure exactly how they feel about him. But I just know what this team has built. And I think Council has provided immense value for this organization.
Yep. Taylor, last 30 seconds with you. I know it's going to be on the horizon. Not sure if you've gotten your college football schedule yet, but we know one of our favorites here, Story Bond and Tony. Great to watch you guys on Saturdays. Early, way too early favorite to win the national title this year. Are we getting chalk in the Big Ten again?
You know, I mean, it's certainly, I think there's a lot of excitement for Oregon, Ohio State, obviously, with Julian Sand coming back and Jeremiah Smith. I think that's a combination to watch always. I'm interested in Miami. That's a team I'll probably see a lot this year. I think Darian Mintz has a really interesting piece. I covered it back to his time at Tulane. So you get him into that system that's been really favorable for quarterbacks 2 years ago. You know, they had Cam Ward, who, you know, was a Heisman Trophy finalist. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. And, you know, they're always going to be good up front. So I have them being really good again. And then, of course, I'm really intrigued with LSU. First year with Lane Kiffin,
Taylor,
what they
could do. Great stuff as always.
All right,
give her a follow
next
at Taylor_McGregor.